Good morning, each one. And I would like to say a little greeting to all of the fathers that are here this morning. Our minds and thoughts are sort of in that gear, and I think most of us are, because of it being a holiday for our nation. And I'm thinking that sometimes these kind of holidays are not always positive. There are some negative thoughts, memories, and we're sorry for that, but that's reality. Since the beginning of time, there have been good parents and bad parents. There's been good fathers, and there's been fathers that have not been so good, and that's reality too. So we don't want to stand up here this morning and just pretend that every father that's ever been a father has been the perfect father, because that's just not the case. But I certainly don't want to end on a negative note either. So if you will bear with us to the end of the message, we hope to end positively. This word father, when I looked up the definition, it indicated that a father was to be a protector and a provider. So this morning, if by chance you might have some negative thoughts and you are not a father yet, I want you to learn from the little message and say, that's how I'm going to be. I want to be a good father. We can learn how to be a parent long before we are, if we will listen and learn and observe. So this morning I'm just going to urge you to listen to the word. The scripture says, and I know that you understand this, that you and I are to honor our mother and our father, it being one of the Ten Commandments. But it didn't end, or that wasn't the only place or the last place that was stated as a commandment. Have you ever thought of it being a commandment? I think that even of those of us that our fathers are gone, we can still have an honor toward them. But that commandment was carried over into the New Testament, and I'm going to read the verses 2 and 3 of Ephesians, the second chapter. The sixth chapter, I'm sorry. So we find it repeated in the New Testament, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. So there are a lot of commandments that are simply commandments that you and I should obey because they are right. Yes. This is right, but this one has a promise that goes with it. A promise that if you obey it, you can claim the promise. And verse 3 tells us what the promise is, that it may be well with thee. Do you want your life to be blessed? This is how you can be blessed. Yes. This word honor, we may think of it in terms of even love. We may think of honoring our parents and saying, well, if I love them, I'm honoring them. And we may even think, well, I don't know how much I love my parents. because they've disappointed me. Let me give you a definition, because I believe that honor can be given even when we're disappointed. It's respect. You can respect anybody. You can show that they are valuable in some way because they are a human being of the earth. Or to value someone. You can be considerate. You can treat someone with courtesy. Those are all definitions that has to do with honoring somebody. To just simply treat somebody courteously. So our advice is to honor. I have a name written down here, which I'm not going to name the name, but I wrote the name down there because of the example this person has been. I've witnessed it myself. This person had a father that was not honorable, was not kind, was not considerate of his children at all. And this daughter, as the years went by, began to honor him, began to show him respect and consideration, and was courteous with it. I've been in the presence when it happened. I've been there when he railed on her and told her, "I don't want you to ever come back again." And her answer was, "Dad, I'm still going to come back." She was obeying this scripture. And I want to tell you today, that's where she is. She is visiting a father that is not honorable. Does not deserve the honor, does not deserve love. But that's where she is today. That's a beautiful picture. Maybe it's not a beautiful picture of her father, but it's a beautiful picture of a child that is honoring the Word of God. I believe that we can honor our parents. I believe that we can even get a card. You don't have to find a card that lies, that tells a lie that you can't really say from your heart, but you can find something. I want to urge us today to honor our parents because the Word of God says it, and because it's a commandment with promise. I believe God has honored this person that I just told you, that I've witnessed. I have absolutely seen the Lord bless this person, and I believe it's because she has shown honor where honor wasn't really due. Okay, those are some thoughts that I had. I'd like to say now, I think it will be good for us to consider the Word of God. This may sound like I'm talking to the children this morning, but you know, the reason we're talking to the children first is because the children here today are going to someday be parents. I really believe that the Word of God is true. Yes. I really believe that when it says that we will reap what we sow, that that's what it means. I really believe that there is a saying in the world that says, what goes around comes around. And that you can sow seeds today that you will benefit from in the future with your children. If time goes on and you have children. If you obey the word, if you consider what God says, and you choose to have the promise of it, it'll come back around. So I want to speak to you about a scripture over in Deuteronomy 27 and 16. Just a little verse there, and this is what it says. Take note of it now. Cursed be he that setteth light by his father or his mother. This is a close scripture. Setteth light means to take lightly. Disregard. Push off. Now, I'm going to admit to you that there are probably a vast majority of our society today falls into a category of not being worthy of honor. We're not looking at that this morning. We're looking at what the Word of God says for me to do. And he says it's a commandment with promise. I really didn't finish reading all of the promises that go with that. The latter part of that second or third verse there says, not only that it would be well with you, but that you might live long on the earth. Oh, you might say, well, I know a lot of people that die young. You've heard me tell this before, I think. As a little girl, we had a neighbor girl that died. Back then, they had their caskets in the home as their for their visitation. I distinctly remember, I wasn't very old at all, maybe four, going to the home with my parents for the visitation and leaving, and I said to my mother, she must not have obeyed her mom and daddy because she didn't live long. There's going to be people die young and people die old. And there's going to be people die old that didn't obey this. But life was not well with them if they did not obey it. There is a promise that you can have a good life. And if you'll get a hold of it, you can claim the promise if you obey the scripture. Yes. So this scripture says that there is a curse if you don't treat your parents in a honorable way, respectful, considerate way. There's a curse. Now I'm going to speak a little bit about fathers. Wasn't going to stay on you young people forever. We have to understand what the Word of God says about fathers too. If you'll turn with me to 1 Timothy, 5th chapter, we're going to read verse 8. Okay. My Bible is sort of coming apart. Places. 5 and 8 says this. If any provide not for his own, and especially for his own house, speaking of fathers, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. I didn't put that scripture in there. God did. We have a society of fathers that are not fathers, that do not provide for their own house. That's reality. We have a generation. We may have two or three generations that are suffering because of it. Maybe more. The result of these kind of things are very common and prevalent in our society. In adults that grew up that did not have a father that provided for them. This provision is not just material things. This provision is of their providing for their children emotionally, spiritually. God commands that a man be the spiritual leader of his family. God is going to hold responsible every man that has not been a spiritual leader for his family. He will meet it at the judgment. That will be a charge against him unless he repents of it before he gets there. He will be lost because he has not carried out the responsibility and provided for his own house. Someone was telling me this recently, and I'd like to believe the Lord is inserting it here. I had not thought of it till right now. A couple, and the man had a tendency of just getting mad on the spur of the moment and really putting his wife down. And in the past, she had reacted to those kind of things, not always in a positive way. She was saved. She was endeavoring to live for the Lord. She became burdened about it. She began to seek the Lord that she could react in a right way. God gave her her victory. But it came through sympathy. When she realized how miserable he was, not happy when he acts like that, the Lord gave her a compassion. I want to tell you, if you can look at any parent that has failed with a compassion, it will give you victory. It will help you. If you can feel sorry for them, that they're in that kind of a state. Oftentimes, we repeat what our parents have done to us. Often where there is abuse, generally the person has been abused. That's supposed to be common knowledge. If we have had a father that has not cared for us, not shown this love and respect for his children and his family and not provided for them, oftentimes it will have happened in their life. So have compassion. Feel a pity because they're not happy. The only way to happiness is to take the way of God. The only way to have a happy family is to seek out God in your life. It's the only way. So the scripture says that a person that is in these places has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Now I'd like to insert this because we need to know that as children we are blessed to be alive and in a family. Psalms 127:3, it says, children are a heritage of the Lord. Every child is a heritage of the Lord. It's a God-given life God gives us life. God allows us to be born. We are a heritage of the Lord. And it says, and is his reward. Be glad that you were born. Don't allow the enemy to work on your thoughts and work on your emotions. And you say, I wish I'd have never been born. People have said that. It's very negative. The enemy takes advantage of those places. Lest you think that I am pointing a finger at anyone, I have said that myself. That's why I say it to you today. Don't say those things. It cannot produce a positive reaction in your life when you're sorry that you've been born. And you know, Job even had those kind of feelings, didn't he? Why was I ever born? You're born. Live with it. Look for the best and love being alive. Proverbs 17 and 6 says something else about children, and this is for us all. Children's children. Who are those? Grandchildren. So we could just simply cut across it and say, grandchildren are the crown of old men. Some of you have had the great privilege of knowing and being with your grandparents. I did not. I did not have a grandmother that I was able to really relate to. But I did have my Aunt Liza. You've heard me tell that. She was like my grandma. But I want to tell you, grandchildren are wonderful. And the grandparents sometimes, I've said, I wish I could have raised my children like I've treated my grandchildren. Wish I could have been a little bit more mature, a little bit more patient with my own children, like I've been with my grandchildren. Those grandchildren are just that. They're just grand. But you know what? The children are too. Thank the Lord. It says that the glory of children are their father. The glory of the children are their father. You would not be here without a father. That's why the Lord is saying, honor your father and your mother. Honor them. They helped bring you into this world. Okay, I'm going to change a little bit of our thoughts. I'd like for you to turn with me now to John, the 14th chapter. We're going to look at verses 8 through 10 and back up to verse 7 to complete the thought there. Okay. Verse 8 says, Philip saith unto him, Lord, shew us the Father. And Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long with you, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Verse 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? Verse 7. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father. I know what Jesus is speaking of here, but now I'm going to speak to the fathers here. Show the Father to your children. Let the Father be in you, just as he said here. I am in the Father and the Father in me. Did you know that your children will not really understand God the Father except by your example. Unless they simply grow up and they come to maturity and they come to a place that the Spirit of the Lord is dealing with their heart and they're beginning to seek after God and they're beginning to try to know Him and understand Him, and they have to go through so much before they can understand the love of God as God the Father. And a father is to present the Father. The Father be in you, you in the Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father. If we have godly fathers, they can instruct their children and present to them what God the Father is. What do they present? The love of God. Love never fails. The scripture tells us all of these other things will fail, but if I can convey to my child the Father and the love of the Father by Him being in me, show me the Father. That's the cry of our families today to our fathers. Show God the Father to me. I won't know Him otherwise. I'll have to learn of it on my own. We can take some little shortcuts here, and it will cause future growth in our children if we will present the Father to our children because He's in me. Thank the Lord. When I go out into the world, when I go shopping, and when you go shopping, I know we all see the same thing, and it's becoming more and more common. And I find it so repulsive. I'm seeing so many men and women that I wonder how and what kind of parent they will be as an example, because their bodies are covered with tattoos and body piercings. And I think of the poor little children will grow up and have no conception of a pure life at all. Did you know, young people and all of us, that the Bible strongly speaks about not tattooing our body? It was a law of God. I can give you the scripture. It's found in Leviticus 19 and 28 and 21 and 5. It's all mixed in with giving of the law. But it was God's law. God created you. And He said, because I am the Lord. I am the Lord. I didn't create you. Now, it doesn't say this. I'm putting this in another way. He wants us to keep our bodies pure. When we defile the body, it speaks of something. It gives a statement. It says in Leviticus 19 and 28, it says, do not print marks upon you, for I am the Lord. The one in the 21st chapter, verse 5, the latter part says, nor make cuttings in your flesh. So we have a whole generation that are being covered with tattoos and piercings and defiling of the ears, big holes in the ears And you can't recover that. And what are they going to do to their children? Or what will the children even think when they are getting old enough? What will be the thing they will take on if they go beyond what the Father did? How can they show the Father to the children? God is not pleased. I would like to give you some resolutions now and some examples. Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord."
Yes.
Did you know that's a wonderful resolution?
Yes.
It's a wonderful thing for a man of a house to say, "I'm going to have a godly home. I want my family taught. I want that." God honors that. God honors that. Well, you might say, "Well, my children didn't choose to serve the Lord." You still be the example. You still be that godly man. You still show the love of the Father through your life. What about Job? He had grown children. He still had a concern for his children. Did you know that you and I will never be the same after we're a parent? Forever. As long as you live, you're going to be concerned for your children. You cannot escape it. Job was concerned for his children. And this is what it said. It said, "He rose up early in the morn and offered burnt offerings for them all. For Job said, it may be, just possibly, they might have sinned. And thus did Job continually." So if your children have not necessarily chosen the way of the Lord, this is the advice. Be as Job. Rise up early in the morning and pray for your children. Beg God for your children. God hears prayer. God works with those children. Abraham was one that had influence. And there is a scripture, Genesis 18 and 19, that says a lot about Abraham in one little verse. God has heard the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah. He's made his decision. "I'm going to go down and check this thing out." But then he said, "You know, I'm going to talk to Abraham about it." And this was why. He said, "Because I know him. I know him that he will command his children and his household, and they shall keep the way of the Lord." He knew Abraham was demonstrating that kind of an example. He had that kind of influence. His own nephew would not have probably ever left Sodom and Gomorrah had he not had the influence of Abraham, his uncle. You and I can be influences in our family. Extended family, immediate family. We can be a light. We can be an example. And we can cause them to look back and say, "I remember the kind of life they lived." That's having the Father in you. The last one I want to give is David. So if you'll turn with me to 1 Kings, 2nd chapter. I want you to consider the counsel that David gave to his son when he was dying. You and I someday will be on our deathbed, possibly. Will there be words that we want to leave with our children? Will we be able to say, consider the Father that has been in me? David said this.
Where is it at?
1 Kings, the 2nd chapter, 2 through 3, I think. He charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. I'm dying. And then he said, be thou strong. Shew thyself a man. Oh, a godly father that can pass good counsel to his children, whether they've chosen to live for the Lord or not. Let God the Father be in you. Shew them the Father. Then he said, keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies. What counsel? I'm leaving here. What counsel will we leave our children? Young people, take the counsel. Don't be bitter. Don't be unforgiving. God has power to help you. You can grow up and be a balanced young person. You can be a balanced parent. You can. Thank the Lord. The ending of verse 3 says, that thou mayest prosper in all that you do. How many want to prosper in all that we do? I do. This is the way. The scripture that we want to end with, it says, mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Strive to be perfect. Strive for the Father to be in you, in us all, that we may be able to shew our families the Father through our lives. You know what? I would count it a great honor above all things if when I'm gone, my children can say, I know she lived for the Lord. I have confidence that she made heaven. Nothing else will really matter. But if my children can say that, that's a great honor. Shew our families the Father. Amen.